In 1789, a little baby named Charlotte was born, and as she grew to be a young woman, she was well known in England as a portrait artist and a writer of humorous verse. When she became 30 years old, she was struck with a debilitating illness and was a bedridden invalid for the remaining 52 years of her life. During that time, with her mind still fully functioning, she wrote the words to over 150 hymns that are used to praise the name of our Savior throughout the world. The name of that song is Just As I Am. And it strikes me that if a bedridden invalid can write 150 hymns just as she is, how much more can we do, those of us who are not in that case, with all the limbs and senses and brain power that we have to promote the gospel of Christ. Please take this small portion of my efforts as I sing this hymn, Just As I Am. If I can. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich as he, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, I come.
I thank my brother for that special. That was beautiful. In the comments I've heard about our talents and skills in the area of singing, we are truly blessed in the Church of Christ. I'm not one of them, but I do appreciate your beautiful voices, and more than that, the tender hearts that seek to praise our Heavenly Father through song and seek to comfort us with the words of reassurance. I'd like to begin by saying, Yukbo Sayang Genu Jesu Christo. To welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to welcome you to the last hour of this reunion. This is the cleanup spot back here. It was my good fortune to go to the Philippines with my brother Charles Brantner, and without him that trip would have been most difficult. But at the same time, it was a little bit sad on both ends. Sad here for my brother that stayed behind, and sad on the other end for your brothers and sisters that looked forward to seeing him once again. They missed him a great deal over there. He shed tears, and they did too. One thing that I've learned by not having my brother along is truly how much he really works. Having him around as the senior person in the Philippines, and I mean more than just age, senior in, I won't say authority, but reverence, respect, know-how. I missed him a great deal, and I found out how really important he is to the work. It was a humbling experience, one I stood in need of. But one good thing that came out of all of it is Brother Charles and I were able to eat those Oreos without a guilty conscience. Seriously, though, I'd like to introduce my brother, who you all know. In the Philippines, they would introduce him as our beloved Apostle Frank Phan.
Thank you, Brother Mike. You may have noticed that Brother Mike seemed a little nervous. And, well, he should. In the Philippines, it may be that we have rode for a couple of hours in a van. And we come to the end of the road, and we get out and we hike through the jungle and up the side of the mountain to a little church. And there waiting for us is a large congregation waiting to hear the gospel. Now you got to remember that it's 90 some degrees and the same humidity. And when I get up there, I'm huffing and I'm puffing and I don't have a dry stitch on my body. The sweat is running down and stinging my eyes. And has my glasses where I can't see anything. And they rush you right up to the front, Brother Mike and I. And they introduced, this is our beloved Apostle Frank Phan. And I stand up, and I'm panting, and I say, Brother Mike will answer your questions now. And I look at him, and he's got that "you did it to me again" look. And that's what seniority does for you. Yeah. See, seniority allows you to take advantage of him, but he's easy. Brother Mike is easy. Yeah, I found the same thing when I first went there with the Brother Jay. You know, he's a pushover. Brother Jay is a pushover. I mean, I could do anything. He said, okay. We've had a good day. And I pray that after this sermon, you'll still talk to me. I want you to know before I start that I love each one of you. You are not only my family in Christ, but you're very close. And I'm going to take my sermon today out of the book of Revelation. And it's where Christ talked to the seven churches of Asia. And as I study what he told the seven churches of Asia, lo and behold, it applies to us today. Christ may have said, I'm talking to the church in Independence. Or I'm talking to the church in Zamorano. Or I'm talking to the church in Merida. Or I'm talking to the church in Collins. Or Springfield. Or Panabo City, or Compostela, or Cabilao. Any of these churches he could be talking to today through these words, two chapters. Chapter 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation. And he's giving us a message. And we need to know this message. We need to know as a church what Christ expects from you and I. We need to know as a church the things that he wants to keep out of his church. And we need to know the things that he wants within his church. And if we will study Chapter 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation, we'll find those very things. And we'll find in there that Christ goes on and explains some of the devious ways that Satan can work his way into our lives. And it also tells us in those two chapters how we can escape those things. So I'm going to try to point out to us today, you and I, some of the things that it tells us in the book of Revelation. And point out to you and I some of the things that we may need to do or not to do to make ourselves acceptable to Christ. For even though we have local churches in all the world now, brothers and sisters, you and I are the church. You and I are the church. Or we have buildings, we have lands, we have possessions that we say is the church, but you and I are the church. So when Christ was talking to John and telling about these seven churches in Asia, he was talking not only about the physical church, he was talking about the people. What the people had brought upon themselves, what the people need to get rid of. And I'd like to tell you what that message that Christ gave John so many years ago, how it's still of value to you and I today. He made a clear statement. A clear statement regarding the consequences of disobedience and the rewards of faithfulness. And he gives an example and a standard by which you and I can judge not only the church, but judge where we stand in the sight of God. Now we would all like to think that we stand way up here in the sight of God. We would all like to think that you and I would do no wrong. That you and I are the true followers of Jesus Christ, and by doing so, inherit His kingdom. But we need to look at ourselves. We need to look at the church. And we need to see if there is anything within ourselves that we need to put away. And consequently, are there any things that we need to put on? Is there anything lacking within the church that Christ wants there? I'd like to start by asking a question, not of you, but something to give you a point to think about. Think about what Christ praises in His church. What is it that Christ would praise in the Church of Christ? In this church that He restored April 6, 1830. What is it here that He would praise? Is there anything that we can think of? Well, I tell you what the message to the seven churches said. It says, He praises those for not bearing with evil and for the church testing its ministry. Testing its ministry? Yeah, I spent 44 years in management. Anywhere from department head to plant manager. And in those 44 years, and those who have traveled with me, Jay and my brother here can attest to, I tend to take over. I mean, that's built into me. I tend, because of being a manager all that time, I think that I'm right. Do it my way. Don't smile so much. Jay is having a good time back there smiling at me. But I tend to be this way. I tend to think that I'm right. Do we in the church tend to look at the ministry and say, because he was called of God, because he has been ordained, that he is absolutely right in everything he says? And what is the test that I need to pass as a minister of Jesus Christ? What is the test that any of the ministry sitting here in the sound of my voice, what is the test they need to pass? Do they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do they tell you the things that are written in the Bible and the Book of Mormon? Do they uphold Christ? Or on the other hand, do they give their opinions? And I think it should be this way. Christ praises a church that tests its ministry. You know, and I'm talking to the ministry now, the church is looking at you. The church has its eyes on you and me. They are looking to us for leadership. They are looking to us to take them to heaven. And rightly so. So that makes us an example, does it not? Do we as the ministry create and exhibit that good example as a minister of Jesus Christ? Christ is looking at His church and He's praising, if He finds there, a people that test their ministry. Go home. Read the Bible and Book of Mormon and see if the things that we say are true or not. And didn't Paul tell the people of Berea to do the same thing? Things have not changed, brothers and sisters. Most of my reading is going to be out in the second and third chapters in the book of Revelation. So if you want to turn there, we can follow along and probably not get lost too much, because I'm not going to vary too much from that. They need to challenge and check the ministry by their words, their deeds, and their service. And I like to read Revelation 2, 2 and 3. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Verse 10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And in the 26th verse of the second chapter, it says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. God would praise what's in his church for hating what God hates. Do we hate the sins that God hates? Or do we find ourselves partaking in some of those very things that God says, I hate those sins. I don't want nothing to do with those sins. And yet we find ourselves as a people partaking of those same things that God hates. Revelation chapter 2, verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He hates sin. Sin not. And if we sin, repent. Turn from those things that's in our lives that are contrary to God's will. Contrary to those things that he hates. And say, Father, I will put into my life those good things. We heard our brother yesterday say, talk about those good things that's in our lives. And we have so many good things. We've seen today such a marvelous time. We've seen today the Spirit of God come down into this congregation and touch individuals. And I have a question. Is there any who sat in this congregation this morning can deny that the power of God was in it? Can deny that God is not working with this Church of Christ? One of the most fervent prayers that we have, that I've heard day after day, month after month, is that we need more ministry. Our work is no longer this church here in Independence. Our work is worldwide, and to go worldwide, we need more ministry. Now I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you, because I believe what we've seen today was a direct result of the prayers that you and I have said over the last few months. And I've heard them. Now I want to challenge you. In the Philippines, In the Philippines, we have over 1,600 members. We have three elders. Pray for the calling. In Africa, we probably have 1,000 more than that, maybe even more than that. And so few to cover the word. We need more ministry, not only here in the United States, but in our foreign missions also, that this work of Jesus Christ will fill the whole earth. And we can be a part of it. And we can be a part of it by our prayers and our desires to God. And we know that He hears. And we know that He answers because we've seen it here today. We've seen it here today. So I challenge you. Pray for ministry to be called in the foreign fields. That your brothers and sisters in foreign lands will be taken care of the same way that you are here. That they will have ministry to pass them the sacrament. That they will have ministry to lay hands upon their heads when they're sick. That they will have ministry to counsel them in times of trials and tribulation. That's your job. And that's what I'm going to expect of you. And I'm going to expect to have callings within Africa, callings in Honduras, callings in the Philippines, more callings in Mexico, because I expect you to pray for it. Don't let me down. Don't let the work of Jesus Christ down. He praises us for overcoming sin. For overcoming sin. Now, sin's out there in the world. And you and I, whenever we go out this door, have to face it. Yeah, we could stay here. We could stay here within this church building from now on. And maybe not have to be touched by sin. But that's not really what we need to do. Because if we stayed here in this building from now on, then this is all we have. This is all we have. And Christ commands us to go to the world, to go to our neighbors, to talk to them about Jesus Christ and about His gospel. So we can't stay here and be protected from sin. We have to go out into the world. And we have to mingle with the world. Now the real crux of the matter is how are we able to mingle with the world and not have the sins of the world rub off on us? It says we must overcome. We must overcome. We must not let ourselves fall for the temptations of the world. And if we can do that, Christ will praise the church. He will praise us for refusing to be part of the world. Now, I just got through saying, we got to go out in the world. But we have to keep ourselves separated from the world. From the lusts of the world. From the sins of the world. Can we do that? In Philippians, the second chapter, the 15th verse. It says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's your commission. Yeah, we need to go out into the world to be part of that world, but yet be separated. And when we go out into that world, they need to look at you and I and be able to tell, there goes a child of God. There goes a member of the Church of Christ. They're different. They act different. They talk different. They have different interests. Then God will praise the church if we're able to do that. And he will praise the church for keeping the word of God. For keeping the word of God. Third chapter of Revelation, verse 8 says, I know thy works. Christ knows the works of everyone here in this congregation today. You're not going to fool him. You're not going to talk a good fight. You're not going to talk a good battle. He looks at what you do and how you act and what you say. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. How many of us in our life has went out into the world and maybe just been a little bit reluctant to admit that we belong to the Church of Christ? Oh, you're the Mormon people. You're that cult over there. How many of us have felt a little uneasy? We must be strong, for we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, and believe me, we are His church. The same church that was established when he walked the earth. And that church was restored through the gift of God in 1830. How does Christ reward his church? Does Christ give a reward to his church, to his people? He rewards us by keeping us from temptation. By giving some of himself to each one of us. You know, when we go down into the waters of baptism, and when we come out and we have hands laid upon our head for the gift of the Holy Ghost, that gift is in us. That makes us an integral part of Jesus Christ. An integral part. And you and I here today are representatives of Him on high. You know, the Bible says, ye are the sons and daughters of God. And what a every time I listen to that, or every time I read that, or every time I hear it read, chills go up and down my back, because I feel the responsibility of being a son or a daughter of Christ. What a responsibility that puts upon us. Do you feel that responsibility? Do you feel it here in your heart? Terrible responsibility to be Christ-like, to be able to put from us all those that offend and put upon us the mantle of Jesus Christ. And he rewards us by giving eternal life, doesn't he? You know, he gives us eternal life because we obey. We obey. And we do that which He tells us to do. Revelation 21:7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." In Revelation 3:21 it says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." What does Christ condemn in the church? What does he want us to throw out? We can read here in the second and third chapters of Revelation and find out some of the things that he doesn't want us to be. He condemns being spiritually dead. Being spiritually dead. I do not believe, brothers and sisters, for one minute, that the Church of Christ is spiritually dead. I don't even believe that it slipped that much. All I have to do is sit in a meeting like we had this morning and feel the Spirit of God touch you. No. But he condemns those that are spiritually dead. Those that no longer feel the Spirit beating here in your heart. That no longer feel the glow of the love of Jesus Christ. He condemns the church for departing from the faith. Departing from the faith. We need to be united, brothers and sisters. United in the faith of Jesus Christ. United with His love, with His Spirit. He condemns a church that don't allow the Spirit to work with it anymore. And we're all guilty of that, aren't we? What if Brother Sheldon this morning, when the Spirit moved upon him, would have just sat there? Or Brother Buzz? Brother Adam? Would have just sat there? There's a story that I've told to a lot of you. Maybe some of you haven't heard it. Happened a few years ago, and I think it's a great story in listening to the Spirit. I was down in Yucatan, Mexico with Brother McIndoe and Betsy and Dennis. And we had a robbery. Broke into the back of Brother Dennis's rental car, took all of our passports, took all of our sermon notes, scriptures. But you know, we had warning. Before we left the motel, the feeling come upon me, Brother McIndoe and I should take our car. But no, we threw our car stuff into the back of Dennis's car. We went to Walmart and we went inside, we come out and we found everything gone. Brother McIndoe said, "I had a feeling that I should stay here with the car." We had two warnings. We had the Spirit working with us twice and we ignored it. We ignored the Spirit of God and He's working with us every day, and every day we ignore that Spirit. We need to learn to recognize the Spirit of God when it's talking to us. Thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt not steal, neither commit adultery, nor kill, nor do anything like unto it. Thou shalt thank the Lord thy God in all things. Thou shalt offer a sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in righteousness. That's the sacrifice that he requires of you, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's the sacrifice that he's calling us to make. Even that of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And that thou mayest more fully keep thyself unspotted from the world, thou shalt go to the house of prayer and offer up thy sacraments upon thy holy day. For verily this is a day appointed unto you to rest from your labors and to pay thy devotions unto the Most High. Love God. Love Jesus Christ. Offer unto him ourselves, our spirits, our strengths. Each one of us. Each one of us here has talents that we can give to our Heavenly Father. And it is our duty to give unto him what we can. That spirit that we were talking about tells us. It says to us, overcome. It says to us, repent. It says to us to have charity. It says to us to hold to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And it says to us that the word is to do good works. Do good works that we may be justified before our Heavenly Father. We must remember that Christ and His church must be our first love. He said to the church of Ephesus that they had left their first love, that they had left the love of Christ and the love of the church and had gone their way. Don't let that be said of the church of Christ. Don't let that be said of the membership of the church of Christ. We must not leave our first love. Revelation 2:29 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Study. Study, if you will, the second, third chapters of the book of Revelation. Read what he says to the churches. The warnings. The promises. And then see what you can do. What you can put into your life or take out of your life to make your calling and election sure. Helen Steiner Rice writes, God is our encouragement. Sometimes we feel uncertain and unsure of everything, afraid to make decisions, dreading what the day will bring. We keep wishing it were possible to dispel all fear and doubt and to understand more readily just what life is all about. God has given us the answers, which too often go unheeded. But if we search His promises, we'll find everything that's needed to lift our faltering spirits and renew our courage too. For there's absolutely nothing too much for God to do. So cast your burden on Him, seek His counsel when distressed, and go to Him for comfort when you're lonely or oppressed. For God is our encouragement in troubles and in trials, and in suffering and sorrow. He will turn our tears to smiles. I've enjoyed, brothers and sisters, being with you these few days. And I pray God's blessing upon each one of you.
You have each heard the same sermon that I heard. And our brother said that he has expectations. He expects certain things of us. And if we have listened well to what he has brought us this night, then we're to listen to his words and to try them according to the word of God. To know that if this man was a servant of God this night, if he expects certain things of us, it is because the Lord Jesus Christ has expectations for each of you and I. Romans 8, verse 20 says that the creature was made subject to the vanities of the world. That creature is you and I. The vanities of the world are the choices and the temptations that we are subject to. And that scripture goes on to say, we were made subject to this not because we desired it, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. And that means that the Lord Jesus Christ has placed you where he wants you. And he has given you certain choices in your life to make. He's given you talents and skills. And he has expectations of you. He has a hope, not in what you and I see in each other today, but what you and I can become in him. Listen to the words your brother has delivered this night. Judge whether they be of a servant of God. And if they be according to the word that you and I hold near and dear, it is the Lord that has spoken. If you'll turn in your songbooks to number 187, Love Lifted Me, I have a few announcements that I would like to make. First of all, we have the Camp for All Ages, August 28th and 29th. And if you have questions on that, get a hold of Matt Case or Rusty Granger. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock, the ministry are asked to assemble in fasting and prayer. Wednesday, there is to be a combined service here at the Temple Lot for the East Local, the Temple Lot Local, all our brothers and sisters spread throughout these United States and some foreign countries. We're asked to assemble in an attitude of prayer for Wednesday night service. And my brother Roland said he wished to express his thanks, and I do too at this time. We've had a wonderful 3 days. The Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible, but each of you have made it easier, one to the other. I want to thank all the members of the Missouri Reunion Committee, those that are officers and representatives of each of the locals. I want to thank you for your hard work. I want to thank the kitchen committee. They worked hard, and we ate well. We ate well. And I want to thank each of you that have listened responsibly to the messages that have been delivered, but more importantly, have prepared your hearts and your minds to be that temple of God. You've made possible his spirit to be here in great abundance, and we have a hand. Did everyone hear that? Okay. Yes.
Brother Sheldon had to call the care of his wife, but he asked me to announce that anyone that wanted copies of those manifestations of Brother Jordan and Brother Wheaton, he ran some copies that are down on the counter in the visitor center.
Okay. Yes. Any other announcements? Yes.
bishop would ask that all of the campers be sure to take all of your clothes, and your sleeping bags, and your food, and your snooze, and whatever else, and you've got it stashed around the church. The ladies always enjoy selling your stuff. The scrubs, they aren't over here, but it would be a lot better if you take it with you.
Any other announcements? Yes. Any other? Okay. Song number 187, Love Lifted Me. Stand up and repeat once again. Would you please bow your head with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have spent in your watch care. We thank you, Father, that you have listened to our prayers and that you have responded, Father, with what we stand in need of and what is good for this body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful, Father, to have been a part of these meetings. And I am thankful, Father, for each tender heart that has made these meetings possible and these days truly pleasant, to feel your spirit, to be uplifted, to be encouraged, to receive chastisement, and to know, Father, that as little children, you are there to guide us and direct us as we lend our ear. Father, I continue to pray for those that stand in need of your healing powers, spiritually and physically. Lift them up, Father. And may their testimonies be mighty, and may they be pure. I am thankful, Father, for all the ministry that have offered up, Father, the words that you have placed upon their heart. And I pray that each of us grow and build upon this sure foundation that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that is his gospel, that is his word and his commandment to each of us. I pray, Father, that you will ready each of the ministry that will be here tomorrow, that their hearts may be pure before you, that as they meet together, they may truly be united in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they might seek your wisdom, your will, your direction, your support, and your tender protection. Father, I also pray for all those that will be traveling home starting today and throughout this coming week, that your power of protection might rest upon them. Protect them, Father. Take them back home safely to their loved ones. And Father, I pray that each of us take the message that you have placed upon our heart and that we share it with our brothers and sisters back home. But more importantly, Father, that we are ready to share it with all that hunger and thirst after righteousness, all that will listen of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, bless us in parting, and may our love be strong towards you and the Lord Jesus Christ, and may that same love that Christ has placed within our heart be shed one to the other. In the name of Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. You did good.